Hello again. This is Doyle Burbank Williams, and you have found Agents of Providence. I always like to start and explain why I chose that name. As followers of Jesus in this world, I think it's our job to make the world a better place, not just for those who consider themselves religious, but for all people, in fact, for all creation. And so we are agents of that providence that makes life a little bit better. I'm Doyle Burbank Williams. I am the pastor for the people of New Visions United Methodist Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. And I see my job as one of asking questions, of pushing boundaries, of inviting you to think in ways that you may not have encountered before, to enter into some contemplation that you might have not discovered otherwise. We are in the midst of the Lenten season, and at New Visions, we are using material provided by a sanctified art. Their theme is seeking honest questions for a deeper faith. We're now at the fourth Sunday in Lent, is what we're talking about. And the question, very simple question that is being asked this week, who sinned? We begin with a reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. As Jesus walked along, he saw a person who was blind from birth. Jesus' disciples asked, "Rabbi, who sinned so that this person was born blind? This person or their parents?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this one nor their parents. This happened so that God's mighty works might be displayed in them. Now, while it's daytime, we must do the works of the one who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After he said this, he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and smeared the mud on the person's eyes. Jesus said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the person went away and washed, and when they returned, they could see. Now, this is one of those passages in the Bible that make clear just how differently we perceive the world than did the ancient people who wrote this. We now know that illness is caused by viruses and microbes, that congenital blindness might be the result of any number of causes, from heavy metals in drinking water to genetic components, and that seizures might happen from epilepsy or brain injury or some kind of infection. Now, the biblical authors ascribe all of those maladies to either demonic forces or to divine judgment and or punishment. In this passage, particularly from John's Gospel, the disciples asked Jesus about this person's blindness. "Rabbi, who sinned so that they were born blind, this person or this person's parents?" And Jesus dismissed the idea that this blindness was divine punishment of any kind, saying instead that the blindness was an occasion for God's power to be made plain. Now, I might get in trouble for this, but I'm going to argue with Jesus a little bit about that idea too. I don't believe that God gives cancer to anyone so that the world can see their faithfulness. I do not believe that any young person develops an eating disorder so that the saving grace of God can be seen in their recovery. And likewise, I do not believe that a person is born blind just so that Jesus' opponents are amazed and shamed at his miraculous powers. Now, I believe that we are born into fragile bodies that are prone to develop diseases, physical, mental, and even social, I do not believe that this reality is the result of a fall from grace because of Adam or Eve. It's just a part of the flawed and often dismaying world that we live in. I also want to be clear that I do believe that God does show up in the midst of suffering and disease. I believe grace becomes present right in the moment of great confusion and pain, but we do not get sick or born blind just for the purpose of showing off God's power. So for me, the disciples' question about who sinned sees the world wrong. They seem to see a world where everyone needs to walk on eggshells for fear of offending a capricious God who would punish an infant with blindness, either because even a newborn baby can sin, or that this baby can bear the consequences of its parents' sin. And I don't really know which one of those is more atrocious. They see a fearful world of sin and immeasurate punishment, meaning punishment that is way out of proportion with anything that may or may not have been committed. And even though I might argue with Jesus' choice of words, or John's, as the case may be, Jesus points to a world where God's power is seen not in punishment, but in healing, in making whole. And I want to offer that healing and wholeness are not always the correction of a defect or the curing of a malady. I have a nephew who is on the spectrum, and it is very evident that he perceives the world differently than I do, that he interacts with the world differently than I do. But he is also adamant that autism is not a thing in him that needs to be fixed. While we who seem to be neurotypical might find this challenging and confusing, I can't say that he's wrong about that. What makes my nephew whole is not the correction of how his brain functions. It is the acceptance of his uniqueness and the embrace of a family and community that celebrates him. And that's where I see God's mighty works displayed. Maybe for all of us, it's the rough edges of living in a world where we might struggle to find acceptance and celebration that present to us opportunities to experience divine healing and wholeness, to see the mighty works of God's love in Jesus Christ. I also understand that as a piece of literature, John uses the person born blind who comes to sight at the hands of Jesus in order to contrast with the teachers of Israel who should be able to see where God is working but choose their own blindness instead. Now this follows John's pattern. Nicodemus came shrouded in shadows and fails to see what Jesus is talking about. And so now Nicodemus's colleagues are afflicted with their own blindness, effectively, their own elective blindness. It's blindness that they choose. John's gospel continually asks, who sees and who does not? And I think that continues to be a good question to ask, with the warning not to be too sure that we are the ones who see clearly. Where in our world, our community, do we see the love of God healing and making whole? Who needs us to be God's instruments of acceptance and celebration? And where do we need that sign of God's love for ourselves? Well, these are some of the thoughts for our upcoming worship here at New Visions United Methodist. I hope in some way they've been helpful or maybe have prodded some contemplation in areas that you might not have come across before. If this is meaningful for you, I hope that you will subscribe to this podcast and help us share it. This is Doyle Burbank Williams. Thanks for listening to Agents of Providence.